Yeah, hello everyone. This is Performing Edge Coaching International, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter on July the 12th, and we're doing a session on media training here and how to get on TV and radio and magazines and just all the benefits of that. I've had an enormous amount of experience with this, and so I want to share with you what I've learned so we can so you can get as much exposure as you can for your to get clients, to get the word out there about your book. If you have a book, to also for if you have a website, to get draw people to your website, get people to buy your products, and or if you have a workshop or seminar, there's so many different advantages of being in the media. So yeah, I was just on NBC last week and just did an interview with Business Week this morning, and also Time Magazine a couple weeks ago. So as the Olympics are coming up here, you can people may want you to talk about the Olympics or sport, but sports of course is something that is always going on, and health and fitness is something that we can always use. And so I'll just turn this on lecture here so we get a nice clean recording. Some of the things that benefits you can have of being in the media are, first of all, putting, let's say you're on TV, you can put that website, you can put that TV clip on your website. And so you can drive traffic to it, and whenever someone is calls you about being a potential client, I always send them to my videos and say, here, take a look at this video clip first, and it immediately establishes your credibility and positions you as the expert in your field, and you can get people to sign up with you much more quickly if they've seen you in a video of some sort. Now, it can be on TV, and even before you get on TV, you can be making your own videos, just standing in front of a video camera at home and basically be your own TV. When you think of media, I want you to sort of broaden your vision of what media is. I mean, it used to be just the traditional TV, radio, magazines, but now, of course, it's blogs. Actually, the Business Week that just called me yesterday, they wanted me to talk about athletes and drugs not the most positive topic, but it's a hot topic, in the Olympics. So it was actually a social media person from it's actually, it used to be called Business Week. Now it's Bloomberg Business Week. And so they, it'll be on their website, which is even more powerful, I think, than, we used to think magazines are great, for status and for bragging rights, that kind of thing, for your portfolio. But if you can say that you're, if they have you on their website, and then you put a live link to your website on theirs, then it's much more powerful. So I'm not sure what that noise is in the background. I've got the lecture mode on. Maybe if you guys could just press *6 on your phone to mute your phone, just to make sure. Because there seems to be some static in the background. I'm not sure why it's why we're getting static. Anyway, I hope you can hear me okay. Let's see. I'll turn this off here. Can you guys hear that static?
I hear the static.
You do hear it?
I do hear it,
yeah. I don't know what that is. I've never heard that before. We've been doing these for a year and a half now. It's something to do with the line or something. Let's see. I wonder what we can do. Well, we'll just have to try to focus in. Oh, there we go. Now it seemed to have gone away. I'm not sure why. So that's good. So maybe it's just something with the phone line. So if you're you can drive, even if you think someone's calling about with their blog or something, or their social media blog, actually that's just as good or better than the traditional TV or traditional media, because you're you know, you can have them put a link to your blog on their website, and it's very powerful. And in fact, you always want to follow up. I have a kind of a standard email just saying, when you quote me, if you please quote me this way. So you want to, and I'll put that, I'm just putting a note here to myself, quote me, put that in the members area here, my kind of standard email that I send out, and say, you know, for instance, when you quote me, please say, you know, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, author of, and then you put your book title if you have one, because they'll usually include your book. You know, I put author of Olympic Thinking, since that's, you know, very hot topic right now is the Olympics. And then put your, you know, link to your website there, and have that be part of, you know, that they include that in the website there. So what the kinds of things I wanted to just go over a little bit about the benefits of being in the media when you're, you know, when you get on TV or radio or magazines or in blogs, you know, you can put that on your website. Like I've got one that from 2 years ago that where NBC, you know, came to my office here and talked about my work with Olympians. And I put that up on my website there. You put it on YouTube, you just easily upload it to YouTube. And then you just, you know, click copy the embed code, the share code, and then put it on your own website, on your WordPress site. And boom, it, you know, just without any coding, you don't have to have any coding knowledge. I'm a non-techie myself, but I can copy and paste something. We can all do that. So you just copy and paste the code, the share code, or embed code right from from YouTube onto your blog there, and boom, it just comes up with a nice screen and you know, plays right there, so people can instantly see you as the authority, you know, in your area. And put up some keywords like performance and mental training, you know, right on as a title and description, and then that draws people to your site. So, you know, with that having more media, you can choose the kind of clients you want to work with. You'll find that you're in demand. You get a lot more calls. You can charge what you want, raise your fees. Because, you know, suddenly you've been on TV and radio and, you know, basically call your own shots. You can get more coaching clients, whatever it is that you want to focus on. You can get more paid speaking engagements, do your own seminars and workshops, create more products out of that. In fact, one thing I do is like this interview I just had with Time Magazine and then the one with Business Week, when they call, I'll just record the call. And you can do that with, you know, just setting up a little thing. And what I use is a telephone interface. It's made by a company called JK Audio, which is a real standard in the audio industry. And it's called Innkeeper PBX Digital Hybrid. So again, the name of the box, it's like a phone interface so that you can record your calls. It's a JK Audio, and then the model is the type is Innkeeper PBX Digital Hybrid, and it allows you to you know, record calls and record. That's what I'm using right now, to be able to record your own voice talking and record the caller's voice. And then you can adjust the volumes as well, so you get a really clean recording. And that way you can just record when someone calls you. You can just record. You could do this with clients as well. I'll ask them permission and record the call. And that way I, you know, can use it for my own learning, for my own you can use it to go back and review. And then also, I mean, these are, you know, highly paid you know, very successful, very experienced media people that may be calling you, like New Time and Business Week and NBC and you know, Runner's World magazine. They've spent a lot of time thinking out these questions for you. They are very valuable questions. So why not, you know, you want to make sure you remember those questions, write them down, and you can use them again and again to repurpose them for your own you know, products and services. So, you know, after that call, then I can go back and review. First, you can find out, you know, how you did, and, you know, it's great for your own feedback to replay the call and see, you know, what areas you could improve upon. And in fact, I'm going to put this, I recorded the call that I just did with Business Week and also the one with Time Magazine. I'll put those up in the members area there so you can hear them and so you can hear how I interact with, in an interview like this and how I make sure that they get my name correctly and how they make sure they get my book title in there and how they, I ask them to put my website up there and, you know, kind of get all that information in there and build rapport along the way so you don't sound too salesy. So, so you can use this material then. It's not a one-time thing. You can, you know, take all those questions and then you could take that and, well, change it a little bit and add your own questions and add a little bit to it. And then you've got a great blog post. You could turn it into, just that one interview. You could think of how many different ways you could repurpose that. You could do transcripts of the interview. You could do an article. You could do a blog posts if it's a longer kind of thing. You could do an audio recording of your voice. You could use those same questions and then have someone else interview you with those same questions and do your own interview. Basically, come up with, you know, similar answers, but you've got this great recording that you could make. So that you could turn that into a podcast on your website. You could do turn it into a video, you know, or sections. As videos tend to be, you know, they're better if they're short. So you could do, you know, take 1 half-hour interview that you did with a some media person, and then turn it into what you learned from that. Turn it into 10 short videos, 1 minute or 3 minute videos kind of thing. And to ask a question and then give an answer. That could be one video. Ask question number two and give your answer. That could be video number two. So these are all great ideas. Articles, you could do special reports. You could combine those then articles into an ebook. You could do a teleseminar, a webinar, you know, live events, workshop. All these things could come from this material that you get when you're doing your media interview. So there's many ways that you can leverage that. And then even if you're doing a radio interview, you could also put those audio clips on your website as well. You could do a media compilation video, you know, like all of your best media appearances. Like if you go to drjoanne.com/media, I think it is, or just go to drjoanne.com and at the top, click on media, you can see the video that I had created of sort of a compilation of the different TV shows I've been on and speaking engagements. And I had all that done with a high school student, actually, that put it together. So I didn't have to, I just paid a very small amount for that because high school students, they love to do that kind of thing for like an internship. One of the things you want to do is ask the media for their questions first. Like when they first email you, they have great questions that you can use. So I'll often say they'll email me and say, yeah, can I do an interview with you? So I'll say, yeah, tomorrow at 12 or so and say, can you please email me your questions first so I can prepare? So then they'll email me these really professionally put together questions. And so that helps me prepare for the interview, and also it's questions I can use and you can use in the future. You know, like the interview that I just did with Business Week just now. They, you know, I asked them for their questions, and they just sent it to me. And she said, here's my questions. Why do some Olympic athletes use performance-enhancing drugs? Second question, is there stress on athletes in regard to drug tests? And then question number three, how have increases in quantity and quality of drug testing affected athletes? So those are really good questions, and it gave me a chance to really prepare. And now that I've just completed the interview, then you want to do a follow-up you know, email right afterward to make sure they quote you correctly and say, you know, please send, you know, please quote me as, and then give your name and your book and your website, and you might throw in one or two other tips for them that they could include. Always ask, you know, when will this appear? So that you can track it, and you know, will this be? She said next week and business week it'll be in there. So, so that you can then follow up and find out when where the article is, and you can you can use, you know, ask them permission and copy and paste it into your website, or you can. You can do a section of it, you know, just put a paragraph or two from there into your website, and then give a comment, you know, beforehand, a little introduction, and then here's the interview I did, and put, you know, a section of it there, and then afterward do a quick comment about what it was that you did, you know, how you felt about the interview or something you wanted to add to it, add some value, and then you've got a blog post right there. Or you could do a series of those. So those are different things. How you could some examples of how you can build your coaching business, you know, through media appearances. Because then always at the bottom of your website, you can put, you know, for more information about my coaching, you know, click here, and send them to your coaching page, right there on your website. So you always want to be thinking, how can I leverage this? So I wanted to tell you a story. The reason I was excited about to tell you about the you know, doing this media training today also is to tell you a story about what happened with me with NBC last week, and how quickly things can evolve and build for you in this area. So what happened was, you know, there was that controversy with the women in the 100 meters. There was, you know, Allison Felix and Genova Tarbo tied for third place in the Olympic trials, track and field, in the 100 meters. And they, you know, they tied for third place, and they ran exactly the same time, to a thousandth of a second. I mean, it's just almost impossible to do that, how they could be that close. And that, so even a photo finish, they could not separate the two and decide who won. So they said that they were, and it was a very controversial, because the governing bodies had not, USA Track and Field did not have a rule in place for what to do in that situation. And so that created a lot of controversy, and it was all over. It went way beyond just sports. It was all on CNN and on all the major TV shows, on, you know, Good Morning America. They mentioned it everywhere. So because both of these women had to run the 200 meters the next week, in a few days, they were going to hold off the decision making until after the 200 meters. So that created this anticipation. And so what I did was, any kind of controversy like that, you can then turn that into a media opportunity for you. I called NBC, and I said, you know. I called the newsroom. When you call a station or a radio station or TV, you can just get the number off the website there for their newsroom, and usually you'll get a live person to answer. So you want to, you know, sort of have a phone script ready, something real concise first that you practice a couple times before you call them. So that you, because they, you know, are... they very quickly make a decision about you within a few seconds, you know, if you're ready to go and if you're somebody that they'd like to have on the show. So, and it's a great opportunity. So I called and I said, you know, is there, I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, a sports psychologist, have several Olympians that I'm working with going to the London Olympics, and NBC's had me on a couple times before, and I'd love to be a resource for you. I know that I'd like to just comment about the women's, the controversy with the women's 100 meter race, both of them tying, and the stress, the psychology of stress that they are going through. And so the guy said, first he said, okay, I'll forward that on to somebody. And he didn't really do much with it, I don't think. So I, but you got to be persistent, right? So I just, then I, you know, that was the end of that conversation. But I called the next day and I got another guy on the phone and I said the same thing. And he was really interested. He said, oh, wow, well, that's great. Let me forward you to, you know, the woman that is the executive producer for the Olympics. You can talk to her. So he actually forwarded me to her direct voicemail. And then I left a that's where you want to be really concise when you're leaving a voicemail. It has to be even shorter. Make sure you put your name, your phone number, your website, say that at the beginning, and then say what you are, you know, performance coach. And you can say, would like to be a resource for you. Is that's a really good statement to say that they like. What you do not want to say is, well, I just want to promote my book. Of course, that's what we all want to do, but they don't, if you're good on the show, they're interested in your story, not the book. And then, and they want to have you as, see if you're a good expert to have on the show. And then if you are, then of course they'll promote your book too. So, you want to save that till a little bit later when, you're already doing the interview or you're just, or it's already booked and you're already set up, and then you can mention your book then. I want to mention that part. It's important to not, come in with, talking about your book right away. You can mention, you know, maybe at the end of the conversation, yeah, I'm author of this book as well. And then you start to bring that in as you're, you know, you build a relationship with them. So what happens is, what happened was I, the executive producer then called me right back, and she said, yeah, that's really interesting. We're doing a story on that, the women's, 100 meters tonight. Can we have someone come to your, the reporter called me, this lady Jean, and she said, can we come over to your office there and interview you? I said, okay. What time? They said, we'll be there in about a half hour. So I didn't have much time to prepare. And I'd just come in from a run, so I'm all sweaty and didn't have time to do much to get ready. So sometimes they'll call you right away and you've got to drop everything. So I had to get my office ready and get myself ready, slap on some makeup, change clothes, and boom, they're here all of a sudden. And so ideally you want to take a little bit of time to prepare ahead of time. You want to do some research on the internet about the topic. You know, you can look up anything these days very quickly, of course, and then come up with some questions, several questions that they might ask. That's what I did in the email to them. I asked them, you know, I posed questions for Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. And I want to put that in the members area here, how to, the email that I sent to them that got me the interview, just very short. You don't want to go it to be really long. You just want to say who you are real quickly and that you'd like to be a resource and you would like to comment on this specific issue rather than just saying, I'd like to be a, be on your show be interviewed. You want, it's best if you have a specific story, a specific topic that you want to talk about. And then if that doesn't work, for some reason they're not interested in that, then later you can call about a different topic, but hone it into one topic that is good. And if it's a hot topic, that's the best thing, something that everyone's talking about, something that's in the news. So you can find that out easily by just going to, you know, sports news, or following your particular sports that you're interested in. For the Olympics, there'll be all kinds of stuff that comes up, I'm sure. And so you can, talk. So I sent this in my email. I said, yeah, questions for Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. Would you want your future to be determined by a coin toss or a runoff? Because that was the question, you know, they were giving the two women an option. They could either choose to do a runoff to run together, have another race, or a coin toss. And so I put that as a provocative question. And so I put that in there, and then I put, you know, how is the stress of this situation affecting these women? You know, going in, since they have another event to run, the 200 meters, you know, and a few questions like that. You know, how, you know, what's going on mentally inside their heads, and so anything that you can do to talk about that part, the mental part, getting inside the mind of these athletes, will really help you. And really help them get interested in you. Because oftentimes I think, you know, if there's somebody at the news station or at the radio station that's really interested in, you know, that particular sport, or they're interested in sports psychology, or they're often interested in things that don't get talked about as much. So you can really fill in the gaps for them, and you can be the expert in that area. So they called me, and you know, they said we'll be here in a half hour. So I quickly got myself together, and then they came here to the NBC. Brought their film crew to my office here, and so I also, you want to arrange your office if you can, so that you know, pick out a good spot that. Or if you don't have an office, you know, just, I mean, they might even be coming to your dining room or something, whatever it is, you know, try to make it look professional, and, you know, just have a chair. And what I do is I put my, the book on a stand right next to the chair on the desk. And so it appears right next to where I'm sitting. So it's in the background, or they see the book right next to, you know, the interview with me. And it usually, every time I've done an interview, it gets included in, it's kind of like product placement, they call it in movies. You know, you're always seeing these products in the background. So it's a nice way of promoting your book that is subtle and not too salesy, where they're seeing your book right there. So you can put it right next to you on get one of those little book stands you can get at a bookstore, and have it there. If you have trophies or other things you'd like to show, you know, put those on the desk there and kind of create a little display. When ABC came a few weeks ago here to interview me, the guy, producer, was actually, you know, really good at setting up, but he took my trophies from winning San Francisco Marathon and second in the Ironman, and, you know, which are really nice glass or crystal kind of trophies, and he put them on the desk and arranged them in a really nice order. They were beautiful. So I took a picture of that so I could remember how he did it. And then now I do that for, you know, when NBC came here and made the nice little display, and that way you're doing the work for them, so they don't have to, set things up, and they can just come in with their cameras, and they're happy with how things look. And they if there's you know, a window open, they'll usually, if you have blinds or something, if they have a light, a camera with a light, then they'll usually want to close the blinds so that you're just they're lighting up your face. If they don't have a light, then they might want to use the natural light from the window. But you know, you can let them figure that out. And then you want to just you know, bring some water, so you've got you know, so you're not coughing, and you know, your voice is doing well. And just you can give them some questions there, or they'll have questions for you. And you want to make sure that they pronounce your name right and spell it correctly. So at first, so I always have a sheet of paper that gives them, you know, the spelling of my name, because Dahlketter, no one ever spells that right. And so I'll give them the spelling of the name. That's for what's called the chyron, and that's the, you know, that little, the bottom third of the TV screen. You always see the person's name when they're speaking and their title. So you want to put there, ideally, you know, I put Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, author of Your Performing Edge, or author of now Olympic Thinking, since that book is new out. And I'd like to have them put that, ask them to put that on the screen. Sometimes they'll put your book title. Sometimes they'll put just a title of who you are. You could put certified, or you could put Performing Edge Coach, or whatever you like as a as a title underneath the screen, sports psychology expert, a performance coach, whatever it is that you want to be called by. And then they'll often usually put that on the screen there just as you've written it out. So, I mean, that's like real, you know, advertising that would cost thousands, millions of dollars if you're on national TV, right there on the screen. So make sure that you put what you want to promote right there. And they'll often put your book title. And what they did for when ABC was here is the guy actually, you know, filmed my book. So he went right up to it and did a nice film of it. And you want to give, if you have a book, give them a copy of your book right there in the office. Or if there's a couple people, even give a couple copies to, you know, to the reporter, the producer, or for anyone else back in the office. And so you want to make sure that they have all your materials. And then what he did was they'll often film your book later. They'll just, you know, put the camera right on it. So they, you know, put that in the, and that gives you credibility. It makes them look good because they've got a credible expert on the show. So you want to have, and then also, so you want to tell them how to spell your name, and you also want to tell them how to pronounce your name. So, I mean, most of you guys have easy names to pronounce, but my Dahlketter, people always mess that up, the spelling and the pronunciation. So I'll write out D-O-L-L. And then hyphen K-E-T-T-E-R. That's kind of like the phonetic, you know, way of it's how to pronounce it. And I'll say it, you know, say it into the camera. Say, my name is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. So they have that on the recording, and then they can make sure that it's that they can say it the way that you were saying it. That's really important. So I try to do that right away with them. And so then you want to just relax during the interview and just be able to answer questions. Hopefully beforehand you've done your research and you've done some, you know, written out some question answers. If you have time, you know, I didn't in this case have that time because they were coming right away, but ideally, you know, you might have a couple days to rehearse things. So you want to be able to rehearse standing up. I think that really is valuable to, you know, you give yourself more energy, you know, standing up and actually speaking out loud. It's one thing to just say, you know, the words, say your answers, but it's much more valuable to actually, you know, rehearse it with a friend or a family member, have them ask you the questions, and then you, you know, give the answers out loud, and then you find out where you're, you know, where you're strong and where you're weak and the areas you need to work on, and maybe, you know, different sound bites that didn't sound quite right. And you want to think in terms of sound bites. You know, the shorter the answer, the better. Yeah, one thing you don't want to do is be rambling on and on about with one question or answer. You want to be able to just you know, get to the point, give an answer, and then they go on to their next question. That's what the media really like, is something that's really crisp, because they, you know, if they're doing a story where they're cutting a lot of stuff, they want quick little sound bites from you that they can put in, and then they can move on to the next, you know, question. Short sentences and statements and phrases where they can easily edit it and cut it in the middle of after you've completed one thought. So, what I did with the book then is I said, you know, at the end of the, you could say it at the beginning or just kind of, actually, it's good to do right at the beginning when they walk in and say, oh, here's a copy of my book. I autographed it to you. And they're very happy to, you know, get this gift. And then they realize, wow, what's in this book? And, you know, Jean, the reporter here, she just looks through it. And I said, yeah, here's the table of contents. And you can see all the different topics here. And so what happens is, you know, they are, and what happened in this case is they were interviewing me just for this specific topic of this women's controversy. But then in looking at my book And in the, you know, with the quality of the interview, Gene said, God, you are really, you know, a fantastic interviewer. I think it'd be great for us to do a whole story just on you and your work with athletes and your work with Olympians coming up here. You know, I'm going to suggest that to the producer. So, so the interview went really well. It was actually on TV that night. I would put up a link, but somehow they don't have one up there for the video. So, but I did. You want to try to record it? What you want to do is record it on your own, if it's possible to record it off your TV, so that you can then. Take that recording and put it on your website. I've never had anyone complain about that, you know. So it's typically fine to do as long as it's your own, you know, your own recording and your own interview. Then they're usually fine with that. So I put that. You know, we did that interview, and then. You know, the next thing I know, I get a call the next day from the executive producer saying, yeah, we'd really like to do a story just on you and one of your athletes going to the Olympics. We'd love to have, you know, actually sit in on a session with you doing a, you know, a sports psychology session, you know, with an athlete that's actually, do you have one that's actually qualified that's going to the Olympics? So they're interested in Bay Area athletes here in particular. So I said, yes, well, I actually have one. And so I called her. You absolutely have to get permission, of course, from athletes or from anyone to mention their names. So I wanted to talk, you know, mention that regarding ethics, you know, the TV and radio, they'll typically push you. They'll push you to give them more and more information. And they'll ask, well, what athletes are you working with? And you want to be very careful and not give any athlete names. You know, I try to avoid giving athlete names in general and just talk about issues or talk about the particular sport that they're in or, you know, the concerns or problems and that I can solve through mental training. But if they, in this case, they wanted to do a session with a particular athlete, with me, and so, which I've never done before on TV. So I, but I asked the athlete, her name's Shannon, if she would be willing to do that. She was leaving the next day for Europe for London, but she said, "Well, okay." She was open to it, and so we actually met, drove up to her house in San Francisco, and. I met her up there, and then NBC drove up there also, and it was on the 4th of July on a holiday. We were rushing to get up there right before her plane left for Europe, and so we did this great session with you want to have things in that case. You want to have things that you can show. So if you do have an athlete that's you know, you've been working with, you've had good results with, and you have a good rapport, and they're willing to you know, be on a show with you, that makes a great a nice little segment. You know, you want to get written permission from them. Just email them and say, you know, would it be all right if we, you know, did. You know, something together, showing mental training on, you know, on this TV show or radio show. And you know, you want to get their written permission, and then, yeah, then it should be fine. And, we went up there and, did this, you know, a lot of the sort of work we do as, you know, with mental training is inner work. So it's not really a lot of stuff that you can show on TV. So I had to think, okay, what is it that I could show them that, you know, if they could film, it would be interesting. So I, at first I talked about the power, you know, the three P's of your performing edge, positive images and power words, present focus. And I did that power words exercise with her where I, you know, had her write down, you know, I asked her, Shannon, about the negative words that she uses and put those in the left column and then draw a line down the middle and on the right side put, you know, let's put the positive reframing or power words that you could use. And so we did that kind of exercise just talking out loud. So they filmed that as exercise number one. And then exercise number two, I talked about the magnet technique and I actually did it like a little visualization with her. So I, you know, took her through that and they filmed that. Be doing a visualization, you know, a little bit of that. And then the third exercise I did was kind of a shoulder, you know, tight, like a progressive muscle relaxation exercise where you tighten your shoulders and your neck, and then hold them tight, and then back, and then down, and just tighten and then relax, and so that's something at least you could show to prevent the tightening of shoulders. So that was something that did those three, and then they little quick exercises, and then they interviewed Shannon about our work together, and so she could say some good things about the importance of mental training and how it helps. And then then she was off to the airport, and then NBC did an interview with me afterward about my work, so they're putting that together now, and they wanted a bio from me, so you want to make sure that you get an updated bio of yourself, and so they were just. In that case, they want to show all the different things that you do. So if you have, photos of you speaking for a group, photos of you working with a group of athletes, you could give them those, you could give them videos. And, it could end up being a really nice little piece about you and your work. And that can be extraordinarily valuable, video that you could put it on it'll be on TV, but then they're going to show it actually during the Olympics here. On NBC, that story that they're doing about me, they could also do something like that for you. And, just all that happened just from me calling, making one phone call to NBC, to the newsroom, to comment on one story somewhere. And it led to, getting a story just about, a solo story just about my work, which, I'll be able to put on my website and, keep there for years so I can, draw people to it. And that, imagine what that could do for you and your, to get clients where, their NBC is actually showing you working with a client. It's just incredibly powerful stuff. So after that happens, the interview, then you want to... I just going to say after that, you can do all kinds of things with that. Then, as I talked about before, repurposing, you can leverage those media appearances by getting more coaching clients, more paid speaking engagements, because you can show those videos to the people that are interested in you speaking. You can do, those seminars, workshops, create more products from that kind of thing. And you can be in just a lot more demand. It's just a great way to, to build credibility for you. So those are some things that I discovered with, just in this last couple of weeks. And this is before the Olympics. So, I'd encourage you to, you can actually call up radio stations and, just ask them, say, I'd like to be a resource for you. And here's the story that's coming up. And I'd like to, chat about that or be an expert, call yourself an expert, an expert in, performance coaching or, sports psychology, mental training, and give my opinions about, whatever it is that's going on. So it's incredibly valuable what you can do with your, with media appearances. And by media, as I mentioned earlier, I don't mean just TV, but TV, radio, magazines, blog, social media, blogs. Like I just said, just a half hour ago before this, I was interviewed by Business Week magazine. But Business Week magazine is much more than just a magazine now. It's if you go to, they actually call it Bloomberg. Bloomberg, it used to be called Business Week. Now it's called Bloomberg Business Week or Bloomberg. It's owned by them now. And if you go there, you can see that it's a magazine. It's an online. It's basically they have a TV show. They have podcasts. They have every form of multimedia now. So all these bigger companies have many ways that you can communicate with people. So just wanted to tell you how to. The process of getting on the media, what to do, how to prepare, and then what to say and what not to say during your interview. I wanted to mention, it's good to, you want to get your, if you do have a book, or services or products, you want to wait a little while to mention those, not mention those right up front, so that you. But then as soon as you're closer to building a relationship with the media and doing the interview, then certainly give them your book or your. That's why, and your, of course, your business card, and follow up with them right afterward. So I just want to, open this up for questions here, and see your what kinds of things I could be of help to you with. Here, let me open this up here. Open up the lines. So what do you guys think, and what kind of questions do you have? I've got the lines open, so anyone can talk. Oh, hi TJ, by the way. I think I see you there.
Yeah, hi. I got here late. Sorry.
That's okay.
But that was interesting. It gives me a lot of things to kind of think about, and all those different ways of following through, I think, are really important.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a great area to think about, and to offer yourself as a resource for your local. Radio, TV, magazines, like TJ, you're into running and marathons, whatever local magazines or publications are there, or just search on blogs, blogs for running kind of thing. And, there's tons of them that come up. And then the nice thing about those is you can put your, leave a link to your website or leave a link to a specific place on your website, like coaching or something that brings in income and clients for you. Not a specific place there. That's great. And if you have questions about websites and stuff, just let me know too. So is that, I think 949 is on. Is that Rob? Are you on the line too?
Hi, it's Rob.
Oh, hi, Rob. Yeah. So do you have questions or anything come up?
I just got late. I'm at the UNLV this week for our level 2 coaching certification and. Just getting certified in the gyms, but it was really cool because we have two Olympians over here. We're able to watch some of their final workouts and things like that, getting ready for London. But it's Lil Clay, our long and triple jumper, and then Robinson, who's also on the team for the 800 meters, that actually coaches out here. So it's kind of been more, it's a whole track and field week of just the training and education. To talk about psychology and things of that nature. I actually had your book out.
Great.
I probably have a handful of people wanting to maybe check out your website and things because they're all interested in all those things too. And it's like, I've been telling her she's working with some Olympians just for London, but I can't say who they are.
Good. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Coach Via Hill's here. I mean, you got an Olympic staff out here this year, so it's really cool.
That's exciting. Wow. Yeah, that's great. You're getting your coaching certification there. Yeah, you had a question that you sent me in your email, I think, about periodization.
Yeah, it was really just, the periodization and the timing and obviously, goal setting, affirmations, a lot of those things obviously is continuous and something you would do and probably your general preparation phase if you're looking at a periodization. But, some of the discussion was, what other psychology techniques would you use and save towards more specific competition phases of periodization and things like that. And a lot of the stuff we go over is physical and psychology, other than, being supportive, motivated, all those things, I'm just trying to look at other mental training techniques towards, maybe that's a little bit more intense towards, high competition, during your high competition phase. When you're building out your macro cycles and things like that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob, and I think it's great because I think the more specific you can be with your mental training and specific to the type of physical training you're doing, the better. And I think you can think of it like a mirror. I think whatever you're doing physically, you can work on that mentally. So if you're really looking to for peaking, it all depends on what sport you're in, at what point you're peaking, and what time you're tapering. Let's say you're getting you know, if you're getting to a point where you're, well, right now it's like 2 weeks before the Olympic Games start. It's pretty amazing. Or for track athletes, I guess it's more like 2.5 to 3 weeks before. And so some athletes are, yeah, really, you know, peaking right now. And so you want to, and trying to get even faster. So if you're wanting to, you know, like let's say you're on the track and you're wanting to get a faster turnover rate with your feet and or a longer stride, then you'd visualize that specifically. You know, like if you want your feet to go faster or your legs to turn over faster, you know, you want to create a specific visualization just for that, for you know, imagining your you know, legs going really fast, watching a video of your of some really fast running. Maybe they have the athlete watch a video of themselves. They probably got video replays of themselves in their best races with really, really fast turnover rate with their legs, and watching that and then closing their eyes and being able to visualize that right away. And then seeing, you know, seeing that happening over and over, or watching a video of other of their role models, other people that they really look up to, and seeing what kind of style they have, and being able to, you know, visualize that kind of turnover.
Is there like a difference in, like, I don't know, maybe volume or intensity? So is there a time where you, like, to ingrain that, is it, you know, you should do that twice a day, three times a day, or, you know, is it, I mean, I don't know, is there a certain point where you don't want to think about it too much, or is that a time where you think it's, you know, visualizing, you know, actually having a session of visualization multiple times a day, is that harmful, is that optimal? I just think, like, in the beginning of the season, you know, more physical, don't think about it too much, it's general, and as intensities increase and you get more specific towards competition, my thinking that then you would spend more time, you know, visualizing, and then maybe as you get closer, are you visualizing twice or three times a day, you know, once when you get up in the morning and maybe prior to practice, and then obviously prior to bed, and is that something that should occur daily? Is that something maybe you should, like, actually have a visualization session every other day, or, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's, if there's something like that, or if that, if I'm just way out of left field, but, you know, just the volume, the intensity of visualization in regards to, you know, certain phases of the season, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great question, I think, and Robin, and I think it's really exactly relevant to what you're working on with athletes, and I think the two or three times that visualization and mental training is most powerful is, number one, right before you go to bed at night. So I think that should be a kind of a standard that, you know, have athletes, if they can, you know, take one of your visualizations and play it right before they go to sleep at night. So that they can, their subconscious mind can be working on it for the 8 hours there. And then, The next best time also to visualize is right before the workout, you know, 5 minutes before or so, so you really get into, get your mind focused, so then you can get so much more out of the workout if you're visualizing it. And, you know, visualize the one purpose, or what exactly does that athlete want to work on for that particular workout. Like you say, increasing their intensity, or if it's increasing volume, then of miles, then they might be, you know, getting more tired. So you want to visualize your body getting stronger and being able to handle that volume, and being able to recover faster, and those kind of things that go along. So it's basically whatever is coming up for that athlete with their training. I think sometimes, with volume, increased volume, increased intensity, there's going to be, sore spots and more, strain on the muscles and more, chance of injury. So you want to be able to, you know, they can visualize healing and faster recovery and, the muscles being able to to handle the stress and recover faster. That would be a good thing to. But people think about only visualizing the performance aspect of things, but I think
that's a good point.
Yeah, you also want to visualize the recovery part and faster healing, because when you're putting a lot more demands on your body like that, there's a lot more chance of getting tweaks, and so you want to think about healing. And then, that's a good question about the two or three times a day or how often. I think, it's a real individual kind of thing with each athlete. If an athlete tends to worry a lot or get really, as competition gets closer, in general, athletes, get more nervous and maybe more stressed. So yeah, I think it's whenever they do get stressed, it's good to spend, 5 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes doing a visualization around the workout, doing, saying, if you're going to worry or if you're going to think about this, let's really get into it. But think about it in a positive way and visualize, yourself doing it the way you want for those 5 or 10 minutes. And then I'd say, tell the athlete to, then say, okay, this is my time to think about this. I'm going to visualize it now. And then that tends to kind of take care of the worrying, because they realize, okay, I've done my mental preparation here, and now I can go off and do other things. So they're not, that can help them to avoid worrying about it all day long. Because what tends to happen, too, is, in the taper period, let's say, a week before, let's say a marathoner, is tapering like 3 weeks before a race, or swimmers are tapering 3 weeks before a race, or sprinters, doing a shorter taper. But during that taper time, they're doing less volume of workouts. And so there's less time that they're training and more time to worry, right? what you want to happen is to as the taper period is coming down, as you're doing less of a physical workout, you can think of it as increasing your mental workouts. And spend more time, because the athletes are thinking, oh, geez, I have done enough training? It's hard to do this taper part. Am I gonna be able to hold on to my fitness here? And trust that my body's gonna know what to do? And all those questions go through the mind. So that's a really important time, a great time that you can actually increase the mental training part. Whereas during regular training. They might be visualizing once a day, like at night before they, or twice, right before they go to bed, and then once right before their workout. Let's see, so that's twice a day. During a taper time, right before a competition, they might want to, maybe increase that to one more extra time during the day to, 3 times a day where they're visualizing, different aspects of the training and visualize healing and, that kind of thing, so that they, and that can really keep your mind fresh and keep your, keep your confidence up even while you're tapering. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, no, that's helpful, because I want to interject some of that. I got to present part of a training plan for jumps, which I have zero experience in, a lot of technical, so I got to do this presentation on tomorrow afternoon, but I wanted.
So we're working on your presentation here.
Yeah, so I want to interject on some psychology as well, because it's something that, we brush over, but I think it's, super important. And I think discussion with a lot of the coaches here, we all agreed on that, and so we're putting together our master cycle, and I'm thinking, where does psychology fit in all this? Because it should be listed on here somewhere, so.
Yeah.
I'll see what kind of feedback I get tomorrow. But yeah, I think it's really cool. I bought your book and kind of going through it, and people are, looking at it. So, and, some were familiar, and it was kind of funny. But yeah, and working with, I wish I could say who some of the people doing. But it'll be on NBC. Y'all can check it out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, and thanks for, if you show my book to the coaches there, that'd be great. Yeah, great resource for them. Thank you.
Yeah, I actually have a couple. I mean, I've been given the link and stuff like that. So, you may get to see some activity, because I've kind of just been using our link that you sent me before to use. So we'll see how that goes. I think it'll be pretty. There's about 300 coaches here at multiple levels, from high school all the way to collegiate, post-collegiate. You know, some of some big universities are doing their level 2 certification. So.
Great. Yeah, there's a link I have, you know, where people can get free information, just peakperformanceplan.com. So you can just give them that. It's easy to remember because it's three P's. Peakperformanceplan.com, and that's where they can go to, you know, get.
Because I think I gave them my affiliate link.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Oh, yeah, for the certification thing. Yeah, give them your affiliate link there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, yeah, because ultimately I think that's really what, you know, I've shared with most of you guys what my thoughts are and my ideas are of being able to handle the nutrition, the psychology, and have a really great understanding. But, you know, trying to work with high school athletes and getting our coaches too. So we've all kind of discussed coming on that plan from a more of a, you know, counsel, personal trainer, athletic training program, instead of stepping on the coach that they're working with, that say we can help and advise and coach in these other areas, that and it opens dialogue and it's authentic to help them maybe coach better and not get upset and coaches get everyone's feelings get hurt and things like that. So
great. And I was going to tell the Daryl and Jeff, newer people on the call too, if you're interested. Rob was referring to an affiliate link. That's the, anyone can become an affiliate of the Performing Edge Coaching International. Also, I can send you a link for it, or if you go to resources on the top of the, in the members area there, Coach Resources, and just scroll down, there's a link there too, and you can just, it's a sign up link and it's free, and you can just become a affiliate, and that way you get your own unique link, and you can email, if you have a website, you can put it on there, or email it out to people in your, anyone that you know, and then if they're interested in the Performing Edge Coaching, then I actually, you pay a very generous commission of 30% of the course fee. Pay you that 30%, so you can, if you get just three. I know Daron Blumberg's gotten, and other people have gotten their course paid for by now by referring, three or more people to the program here. So that works out really well, because I'm happy to work with you on all of that too. I can send you that information. That way we can help get the word out there. So, yeah. Is Daryl, are you there? Just want to.
I am.
Check in with you. Yeah, great. Yeah, was this helpful, or do you have questions? Anything come up for you?
Yeah. The only one I have, it's not more related to the psychology, and it's more to the, I don't have a book yet. So
yeah, that's okay.
I'm probably on the beginning stage of that. So I didn't know, what's the best route to that? Like, do an article, or do you do the blog like you were talking about, or was it, what's the best route to start out with? I started one, but it's not like, an in-depth book. At this point,
the best route to getting a book?
Eventually, yeah. But I'm thinking more of did you start with articles, or did you start with short, blogs? I'm just thinking, to develop more interest, what I have to say.
Yeah, I think articles are great. Yeah, and they because a book seems like, oh, geez, that's too long. But which you can do. Yeah, that's how I got to my book, was actually just doing a collection of articles and doing an article. I offered to write an article for a local magazine. I wrote it once a month, and so I just started collecting those articles together, and eventually that became a book. But you don't have to write. You could ask around for different publications, but you don't have to do that, because you can now basically have write articles. And they can be short, like 300 words or so. Write something that's like a 3-part or 5-part or 10-part article, so that you don't have, it seems more doable. And I'd say, just pick a topic that you're interested in and think of, say 10 tips for that topic. And you could write, say one article could be, the 10 tips to whatever it is, you know, being more mentally focused or something. And, you know, think of 10 tips or things that you'd like to write about, or 10 tips to mental preparation, let's say. And so you write down those 10 things that come to mind. And that, so the first article could be those 10 tips. And then you could take each one of those tips then and, let's say, turn each one into its own separate article. And take one tip and say, okay, let's divide that down. Let's say one tip is, visualization or something. And then so take that tip and then write about your own experience. It could be you're working with athletes, working with your other people you know, or just your opinions about things. You had that great experience working at the Olympic Training Center, right? New York there. Yeah, you've got a lot of great experiences there. So you could tell stories without giving the name of specific athletes, but just talking about the stories. And and then take each one of those tips and add 10, stories or 10 little subtopics to each one of those. And then you've got 10 more articles. And you can put those on a website, and it's easy to do a blog or website. I don't know if you have one yet. I think you guys are you just getting started with that? I can send you.
I am. Yeah.
You are
in the beginning stage.
Yeah. So I can send you some information about the how to do your website, how to do a blog, because it's I'm a non-technical person and I learned how to do it myself. I found it was so much more satisfying to do that. I'll send you some links to get started with that. WordPress makes it so much easier because it's free and anybody can do it. It's basically, the templates are all set up and you just basically get in a few clicks you can get going on with your first website. And it's very simple to do. And then once you do that, you can do what's called blog posts, which are short articles. And you could do articles. You could do record into I guess Jeff. Yeah, you've got the Audacity set up, right?
Yes,
which
I do.
Is great. Yeah, congratulations on that. And so you can using Audacity. It's in the members area there. You can that's free tool, and you can just click on that, record some audio there of, let's say, just you talking about a topic of interest. And then you've got an audio recording, and you can put that on your website as well, which is very engaging. And same thing with video, just, use either a video camera that you have or camera that's most laptops come with a camera that's right on the screen there on the laptop, and you can just talk about your opinion about something. And videos can be really short, just 1 or 2 minutes kind of thing, a tip that you want to give about something. And then you can just put that on your website as well. There's a program called Camtasia.